Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Carlos Soler, and this is La Liga Lowdown.
Hi, I'm Luis García, and you're listening to La Liga Lowdown.
Hi, I'm Pablo Machin. This is La Liga Lowdown.
Yes, that's the man whose team are top of La Liga. Congratulations, Pablo. And I'm David Garrido. Welcome along to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Redis Tokhanov and broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America. Well, match day 13 means that we are a third of the way through a compelling season in Spain's top division, and yet again, the lead changes hands. Here's what's coming up in the next half an hour. The big game of the weekend finishes Atletico Madrid 1, Barcelona 1. So Ewan looks at the key duel between returning duo Diego Costa and Samuel Umtiti.
The pair battled hard throughout before almost coming to blows in the 71st minute as they had a coming together. Play was stopped for a whole 95 seconds because of that row between Umtiti and Costa.
Which means that Sevilla are table toppers after their 1-0 win over Real Valladolid. Now, we thought that Real Madrid had turned a corner, maybe not, after going down 3-0 at Eibar, while Espanyol suffered a defeat at home for the first time this season in a Catalan derby against Girona. Here's Roman.
Girona have to thank two players which are proving essential this season. Bono and, of course, Stuani. Having those two players at both ends of the pitch is definitely worth its weight in gold.
Shock horror, Valencia make their home fans happy. A first win of the La Liga campaign for them at Mestalla against Rayo, and Paco was there to see it.
Santi Mina had in store plenty of flair to become Valencia's top scorer in only a matter of weeks, and is hands down their most informed player.
And some surprising defeats towards the bottom. Leganés beat Alavés, dropping Athletic into the relegation zone. And once again, Los Leones couldn't hold on to a lead, this time against Getafe, as Alex explains.
It's all about psychology, because if you watch the matches, Athletic are often the better side. It's just that they don't know how to handle being in the lead, as they're too afraid to lose it, which is why they end up losing it.
There's VAR controversy too. That's all on the way for you. What a way to come back from the international break. Atletico Madrid against Barcelona, third against first at kickoff. And after the dust settled, well, Diego Simeone is still waiting for his first La Liga win over Barca. 1-1 the final score at the Wanda in a game dominated by the visitors in terms of having the ball, 69.5%, with Atletico camped in their two banks of four, trying to close down the space, asphyxiate the champions in Lionel Messi, and then attack on the break. And they succeeded. Well, almost. All the action in the last 15 minutes of the game.
Griezmann preparing to take the corner kick. Is this the moment for the Atleti breakthrough? Oh, it nearly was. Oh, it is. Costa, it's gone in. Everybody held their breath for a second or two there, wondering whether it had actually gone in or round the side of the goal. It was the big moment for Atletico Madrid. It is Costa's first goal against Barcelona, and it is, as we stand, Atletico Madrid going top of the table. Messi, it's a lovely pass, Dembele, and a goal! Final touch of Lucas Hernandez, but Dembele will be claiming it, and Atletico Madrid have been breached. Full credit to Barcelona, they were hunting their prey, and it was that little touch from Messi that just opened up the time for Dembele. But they got the deflection off Lucas Hernandez, and it is 1-1.
Well, that's how the goals went in on 11 Sports in the UK. Gutting for Atleti fans, because they'd be sitting top of the table had they just held out. Koke reflected as much, saying the draw didn't mean much, having been ahead with so little time in the game left. Simeone bemoaned his side's luck, especially the shot from Ousmane Dembele at the end, which went under the legs of both Jan Oblak and Lucas Hernandez trying to clear the ball off the line. Sergio Busquets claimed that Atleti's style of play wasn't much fun, but had to be respected. And Ernesto Valverde backed Dembele, saying that he has things that other players don't. Self-confidence, personality, and he can shoot with both feet. Let's chat with our man in Madrid, Ewan McTeer, about this game. No secret we had a clash of styles at the Wanda. The Barcelona dominated possession, but that Atletico's compact play denied them the space they craved. Let's look a little deeper though, Ewan. Are there any personal jewels or special performances that caught the eye in this one?
I really enjoyed the Samuel Umtiti versus Diego Costa smackdown bout. This was Umtiti's first action since September, as he returned from a knee injury, and he was excellent against a Diego Costa who showed much more fight and grit than in recent weeks. The pair battled hard throughout, before almost coming to blows in the 71st minute as they had a coming together. Play was stopped for a whole 95 seconds because of that row between Umtiti and Costa, for which both were booked. In the end, Costa had the last laugh as he got his first La Liga goal since February and his first in 18 league matches by losing Rafinha, his marker, at a corner to head home. Overall, Costa's battle with Umtiti and with Gerard Pique, who I thought had his best game of the season, was absolutely fascinating to watch.
And from an Atleti point of view, obviously frustrating for Oblak to concede so late, but it's still only the ninth league goal he's let in this season in 13 games. He's such a key figure for Los Colchoneros. So where are we at with his contract renewal?
What we know is that Oblak currently has a contract until 2021, and that his release clause is 100 million euros, 20 million euros more than the current record fee for goalkeeper, which was set by Chelsea in the summer when they signed Kepa. The latest reports from the more trustworthy newspapers in Spain is that Oblak has been offered a new deal, which would see his salary double from 5 to 10 million euros, and that would push his release clause up to 200 million euros. However, the fact that Antoine Griezmann is currently earning over 20 million euros a year is said to be a real issue, and one of the reasons why Oblak and his representatives are stalling. Simeone was asked about the issue last week, and said that Oblak has a clear idea of what he wants, without elaborating further. Stay tuned to this one. We have a new transfer telenovela in Madrid.
Cheers, Ewan. Well, Barca are nursing some injuries after that game, notably Rafinha, who damaged anterior cruciate ligaments in his right knee, and Sergio Roberto suffering an injury to his left leg. Now, by the way, that was our chosen game for Partidazo Predictions. It's a video that we do on our YouTube channel each and every Friday. Go check it out. youtube.com/C/La Liga Lowdown is the channel URL, or quite simply put La Liga Lowdown into your search engine. Well, I finally get my first 3 points of the season for getting the scoreline spot on. Thank you, Usman. And no one else went for a draw, let alone 1-1, so no other points dished out. Here is how the overall table looks now. Ewan on 13 points, likewise Paco Bolit. I move up to 8 points along with Román de Arquer, and Alex Johnson is on 6. Well, that result at the Wanda left the door open for Sevilla to take advantage, and that is what they did. 1-0 winners at home to Real Valladolid. Andre Silva on the half hour with his 8th league goal of the season, a close range header from across from the superb Pablo Sarabia, twisting, turning and providing his 5th assist of this La Liga campaign. Now, Valladolid had been pretty absent in the first half, but they were better in the second, especially after the introduction of Enes Unal. The Turkish striker had 2 goals ruled out for offside, one because Dani Villa was beyond the last defender, the other his own fault, both correct decisions. The visitors tried to ramp up the pressure by bringing on Daniele Verde and Leo Suarez, but to no avail. Sevilla keeper Thomas Vatschlik was as safe as houses, denying Unal and Verde, and Pablo Machin's side are top. And they only need a point at Standard Liège in Belgium on Thursday, and they'll seal their place in the last 32 of the Europa League as well. So things are ticking along nicely now at the Sanchez-Pizjuan. Now, before the international break, Real Madrid were just 4 points off the top after 4 wins in a row in all competitions. Surely they wouldn't just implode away to Eibar after the break. Well, guess what?
Cucurella again. Good move. This! Oh, caught on with a big save. Then turned in, but with it came. Well, Eibar think they've scored here.
We've got to check this, Joe. I don't think there's anything wrong with this.
Juliano Montero in Madrid has said goal. And Eibar do lead.
Close.
Ball bouncing towards Andrea Thoda. Took a poor touch there. Cucurella has a big chance now. It's 2-0 to Eibar. Tucked away by Sergi Henrique.
Escalante. Draw the way of Kike. That's a nice touch by him.
Decent ball bin too. Just flicked away by Carvajal in front of Escalante.
Now Cucurella.
Oh, chance for the third!
this? It's astonishing! 3-0 to Eibar!
So an historic victory for Los Armeros, their first ever win over Madrid at the 11th time of asking. And what's even more galling for Los Blancos is that it was a player on loan from Barcelona B who was the architect of their downfall. Marc Cucurella was involved in all three goals and was a constant threat down the left-hand side. Eibar now top half, just 2 points behind the European champions, who've won less than half of their games in La Liga. And Madrid are having mares in the Basque country. It's the second time they've been there to face a supposed minnow and lost. But this was way worse than the 1-0 defeat at Alaves. Caught cold is putting it mildly. They could barely string three passes together despite having 61% possession. The criticism after this game was pretty damning. Rafael Varane said that Madrid weren't comfortable and that it's a collective problem. Sergio Ramos said the players lacked the right attitude, while head coach Santi Solari said that Eibar played with guts and courage, but Madrid didn't rise to the challenge. Next up, Roma away in the Champions League. A win takes them through. Anything else means that they could get knocked out on the final match day by CSKA Moscow, so still plenty of peril surrounding Madrid. In a way, it's lucky the teams around them didn't do better. Espanyol suffered a rare home defeat against Girona by 3-1 in the Catalan derby at the Ercedera Stadium, a venue where Los Pericos hadn't even dropped a point, let alone lost a game. But Girona impressed from the off. Cristian Stuani scored twice inside the first 6 minutes to give the home side a real shock. Both goals were headers, the first from a Carles Planas cross, and the second time it was Alex Garcia who assisted from a corner. Stuani is now La Liga's top scorer with 10 goals ahead of Messi, Suarez and Iago Aspas. Well, Espanyol finished the first half strongly. They threatened in the second, eventually getting their reward with Borja Iglesias' finish at the second attempt. But then Girona put the seal on the victory when substitute Seydou Doumbia broke free, burst into the box, found himself one-on-one with Diego Lopez, had his initial shot saved, but put home the rebound. A quite superb result for Eusebio Sacristán's Girona. They are unbeaten in six overall, and they remain the only unbeaten team away in La Liga. Let's get more on this from La Liga Lowdown's Román Derker. Román, of course, Stuani will grab the headlines again. What was so impressive about Girona's performance overall to not only ruin Espanyol's 100% home record, but also inflict their first home defeat of the season?
Girona have to thank two players which are proving essential this season. Bono and, of course, Stuani. Both of them have been key in most of Girona's 20 points so far. The team as a whole definitely defends compactly, especially when playing away, and is capable of building up good plays to create chances. But having those two players at both ends of the pitch is definitely worth its weight in gold. It also has to be said that Espanyol weren't defending at their best. When following their home games, I was usually surprised with how intense and well coordinated they were at the back. But today that wasn't the case. Conceding two goals in the first 6 minutes of the game proves that. And from there on, they were obviously more worried about scoring, so they didn't suffer when Girona countered. Despite being two goals down, Rubí's men did have more ball possession and never gave up on their style. But they were lacking that bit of luck to hold on to their phenomenal home streak.
Thank you for that, Roman. Well, that is it for part one of this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod. And in part two, you will hear about VAR controversy plus much-needed wins for Valencia and Villarreal at home. We'll see you shortly.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back back to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Reda Sakhanov and broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America. So four games down, six more to go, and we continue in the Madrid suburbs. So we had a bit of a surprise result on Friday night. I say surprise, nothing should really surprise us in La Liga this season, given that it's so competitive, and seriously, anyone can beat anyone on their day, it would appear. Leganés had beaten Barcelona at home, they'd held Atletico at home, they fought back to draw against Real Sociedad at home, and now they also beat surprise package Alaves at home, 1-0 the final score, and Ewan McTeer was there at Fortress Butarque.
With this win, Leganés have now lost just twice in eight La Liga matches, winning three and drawing three as well over that mini run. Again, they used a back five formation with which they beat Barcelona and now Alaves, the team with the most possession in the league and the other team with the least. As might have been expected, this was a gritty, agricultural kind of game. The ball spent almost as much time in the air in the first half as it did on the ground, with both sides looking to create chances through winning headers. It was actually through an overhit Alan Leong cross that Lega created their goal, as Jonathan Silva collected on the opposite flank and recycled it back into the box for Youssef El-Nesyri to score. Into the second half, with Alaves forced to be a bit more adventurous, Leganés created chances on the break. They didn't take any, but that didn't matter, as they won 1-0 to help Mauricio Pellegrino enjoy a win over his former team, boosting his job security in the process. The wee kid in front of me was saying campeones at full time. They're pretty happy in Leganés right now.
Well, in terms of reaction to this one, Mauricio Pellegrino also said he was pretty happy, particularly with the connection between the team and the fans of Butarque, and he hoped that they would continue that way at home, but improve away where they still haven't won in La Liga. In fact, of the 13 points they've got, 11 have been at home. For Abelardo, the game had been decided by fine details, but he said he was proud of his players. Above all, Alaves had to be humble and know their objectives for the season, which is, he said, once again, basically to stay up. Well, the next two league games are against two of the top three, Sevilla and Mendizorroza, and then Atletico away at the Wanda. Now then, fancy some VAR controversy? Of course you do. A La Liga match day isn't complete without a bit of ranting and raving from someone about the video assistant referee. Well, the first instance came towards the end of an entertaining game at the Estadio El Alcoraz, which finished Huesca 2, Levante 2. The home side took the lead as Cucho Hernandez's delightful lofted ball over the top was chested by Cristian Rivera into his own path, and he nicked it past Oyer. Before then, Roger Martí equalised with a header in first half stoppage time, Coque with the cross. It was another header from Xabi Echeta which put Huesca back in front, this time for a free kick delivered to the back post by David Ferreiro, but once again Levante equalised. Coque's through ball into Jason, a layoff to Emmanuel Boateng who fired past Alexander Jovanovic. Now, here is the controversial bit. The assistant referee had flagged Jason offside, and Huesca boss Francisco claimed that his players stopped because they'd heard the referee's whistle, allowing Boateng to fire home. Now, the VAR checked Jason's positioning. He was onside, so Huesca's protestations were in vain, and Levante's equaliser stood 2-2, the final score. Well, Francisco was livid about it, talking about the injustice of that decision, while Levante's Paco Lopez said that it was a good point because it wasn't one of their better games. To the next VAR flashpoint, in the game between struggling Athletic Club and Getafe, well, despite Toto Berizzo naming an experienced team for the hosts, it was a 20-year-old who was their star. Peru Nolascoain scored a superb header from a Beñat free kick. He'd previously netted in Athletic's only previous victory of the season against Leganés on the opening day, and he was on course to be as decisive here, only for Jaime Mata to siphon home Amatandai's cross for a simple finish from close range for 1-1. Aritz Aruriz then headed against the post after that, but could Getafe have had a golden chance to win it right at the day?
Jaime Mata seems absolutely convinced that Getafe should have had a penalty in the final minute of added time. He has been booked for his remonstrations. Here's the replay. And look at Inigo Martinez with his arms all around Jaime Mata. And you can see why Mata is complaining.
Well, those complaints carried on to social media, where Jaime Mata asked the energy company Iberdrola if the power had gone in the VAR booth in Madrid. And Vitorino Antunes also Instagrammed a picture of the grapple on Mata. I know, the irony, right? Getafe players moaning about getting manhandled, but with good reason on this occasion. Ah, well, at least their unbeaten away run stretches to seven games in all competitions. In fact, Getafe's only defeat on the road this season was away to Real Madrid on that opening weekend. And what about Athletic? Well, once again, they simply can't keep hold of a lead. It's 13 points they've surrendered from winning positions. Had they held on to those points, they would, in theory, be joint top of the La Liga table. Instead, they're third bottom and very below par by their own standards. Alex Johnson is our lady in the north of Spain. Alex, how can you explain this inability to hold on to a lead? And also, how serious is this now for Toto Berizzo? And is there anything that Athletic fans can be positive about?
Berizzo himself pointed out the problem in his post-press conference, saying, "Your confidence is affected after not winning several games. You feel unstable, and that leads you to do things wrong." He pointed to insecurity when they take the lead and end up very disorganized. And I think that he is completely right. It's all about psychology. Because if you watch the matches, Athletic are often the better side. It's just that they don't know how to handle being in the lead, as they're too afraid to lose it, which is why they end up losing it. It's a serious situation for Toto, but at the same time, Athletic give him more space, more trust, and the fact that football isn't the main problem helps. But a win is needed before Christmas, or I can't see him staying. There are positives in the Athletic camp, though, and it's called loyalty. Not only are the players staying loyal to Berizzo, but this week Iker Muniain signed a new contract without a release clause. He's the first player in La Liga to do that, saying, "I didn't want one because I don't want to be sold." And that is a one club man.
Okay, cheers, Alex. That's been a long time in coming, but Valencia fans can finally say they've won at home in the league this season. 3-0 at home to Rayo Vallecano for their third straight win in all competitions and fourth in five games. A few demons exercised, relief all round. Here's our Paco Willy to watch the game at Mestalla.
Finally, the goals reigned over Mestalla. Santi Mina had in store plenty of flair to become Valencia's top scorer in only a matter of weeks. Against Rayo, he got his third brace of the season in all competitions and is hands down their most informed player. Bad luck again for Rodrigo Moreno, so important for his team with two assists, but once again unable to score. Gameiro rounded off the score, and who knows, maybe the strikers regain some of that lost confidence towards upcoming games, and they will surely need it. Juventus away, Real Madrid away, Sevilla home, Manchester United home, a very, very tough run of games, but we'll see if these back-to-back wins in La Liga boost the team's morale towards this very challenging end of 2018.
Thanks, Paco. Well, Marcelino said the win could have come much earlier. Too right. It's the first time Valencia have won at home in La Liga in 188 days. And he praised Rodrigo for his contribution despite not scoring. And on Gonzalo Guedes, he explained the pacey Portuguese winger was physically limited right now and that they hope his injury niggles can disappear over time. But what about Valencia fans and their reaction?
It's been quite a while since Valencia won at home without big suffering. Probably this will bring confidence to the players, and the next games we will see a different level.
With these two wins, the players are going to get a great motivation, and I think they are going to start winning more matches, and hopefully we are at the top of the Liga.
Okay, maybe top of La Liga is a bit ambitious, but improvement and a rise up the table is very possible. Now, as for Michel, the Rayo boss claimed that he wasn't too worried about his own future, despite his side being second bottom with 7 points from 13 games and having the worst defence in the division, having let in 28 goals. Michel said that they have to be stronger defensively, obviously, even though Rayo do get into dangerous positions to hurt their opponents. Now, the other team in the Valencian community are Villarreal, and Javi Calleja was another coach under fire after his side's poor recent form. So a 2-1 win at home to Real Betis would have come as a real shot in the arm. And not much doing in the first half, goalless and rather dull, but two goals early in the second half changed all that. First, Gerard Moreno's header from a Santi Cazorla corner, moments after Paulo Lopez had made a stunning save, that gave Villarreal the lead. And then pretty much immediately after that, Cazorla won back possession in Betis' box, back-heeled for 19-year-old Samuel Chukwueze to curl home a second goal left-footed. He's now got three in all competitions. For Betis, Sergio León then set up the low-knee Giovanni Lo Celso, whose touch and well-placed finish made it 2-1, but that was a mere consolation for the visitors. Now, Betis' next four games in all competitions are all at home. Olympiacos in the Europa League, Real Sociedad in La Liga, Racing Santander in the Copa del Rey, and Rayo in La Liga again. So time to bed down at the Benito Villamarín and string some wins together. A victory in that first game against Olympiacos on Thursday takes them through to the last 32, by the way. And for Villarreal, similarly, if they beat Rangers at Ibrox, they qualify for the knockout stages of the Europa League. Their next La Liga game is also away to the champions, Barcelona. The Monday night night game was Real Sociedad against Celta Vigo. Miguel Cardoso in charge of the Galicians for the first time, having replaced Antonio Mohamed, but he got off to a losing start. 2-1 the final score, as Mikel Oyarzabal scored in the first half. David Zurutuza headed home in the second. Celta striker Maxi Gomez had surprisingly started the game on the bench, but he came off it to get his 7th goal of the season after superb work by Bryce Mendes. So that was 2-1, but not enough to get a point. It's finally a home win this season for Real Sociedad, and it means that Asier Garitano's side jump up to 8th. They're just 1 point off the European places. Celta have won 1 in 10 in La Liga. They stay 15th, despite being La Liga's 3rd highest scorers, would you believe? But they could get their revenge against La Real. The two meet again next week in the second leg of their Copa del Rey last 32 time. So this is how the table looks after 13 games. Sevilla are top with 26 points, Barcelona second on 25, Atletico third on 24, Alaves fourth on 23 points, Espanyol, Real Madrid and now Girona are 5th, 6th and 7th respectively. And the bottom, Huesca prop up the table on 7 points, Rayo are second bottom with the same points but a slightly better goal difference, and then it's Atletico a third bottom on 11 points. Immediately above them are Leganés on 13, Villarreal and Celta on 14 points. But we are only a third of the way through the season. Before we wrap up, a quick reminder of where you can find the rest of our content. Our Twitter feed is at La Liga Lowdown, updated by all of the people you've heard on this podcast throughout the week. Don't forget about our YouTube channel. Head to youtube.com/C/La Liga Lowdown, or simply put La Liga Lowdown into your search engine. Our website, www.laligalowdown.com, has all of those bits and bobs, as well as this mini pod, which you can give a 5-star rating to if you so desire. Keep supporting us on all of those platforms. We really do appreciate it. That's your La Liga Lowdown. See you next time.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.